distilleries, craft wineries, and all kinds of craft beverages have been getting a lot of attention lately. Today, we'll see what all the fuss is about. Hi, I'm Jill Nadeau, and I'm filling in for the vacationing Larry Mueller. We're very glad to have you with us on the Ideas Network. In the studio with us today are Mary Pelletieri and Peter Clement. Mary is the founder and president of Top Note Tonic, and Peter is director of business development for Great Lakes Distillery. Do you prefer craft beverages? Why? And what are some of your favorites? Are you interested in maybe starting your own business in the craft industry? What questions do you have? Well, give us a call. The number, 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to ideas@wpr.org. Mary, Peter, it's so nice of you to come in today.
Thank you for having us.
Thanks. This is fun.
Well, hopefully it will be. So at the top of the hour, I had mentioned highballs and cocktails. Now, is there a difference? And if so, what is it?
Well, I can take that one. A highball is a cocktail, okay. But it's kind of more of a traditional, little easier to make cocktail. Usually two, maybe three components. So it's usually what people think of when they're making a cocktail at home is a highball, because it's going to be a mixer, typically a sparkling mixer, and the spirit of their choice. You know, anything that's sparkling with ice probably was some sort of rendition of a highball at some point. But, you know, cocktails are also, many are not sparkling. They're just shaken and maybe with, diluted a little bit with ice. So we usually like to call them highballs because they're usually just in a tall glass. But
okay.
It's a very old school kind of beverage. Kind of some of the most simple cocktails really started out just a highball.
Okay. Well, thanks for that information.
Yeah.
Now we know.
Yeah.
Now we know. Now, we're going to talk about craft beverages. What does craft beverages mean? Now, Peter, do you want to take that one? Or
Sure. Basically, you have a lot of large producers of spirits that produce anywhere from, I always joke and say, we made 78,000 bottles in the year 2016. That's what Tanqueray makes in one size of their product in about an hour, probably.
Oh, my gosh.
Or Smirnoff. So craft is just, from speaking from a personal point, with my boss, Guy Rahorse, he was a home winemaker, a home beer maker, and before he decided to become illegal and home distill, he started doing the research and realized that he could actually open up a distillery and create a far better product than some of the bigger companies were making. And at the time when he actually started distilling, which was in 2006 is when the first product came out, vodka, there were only 30 craft distilleries in the United States. At this point, there are over 1,600 craft distilleries in the United States.
Oh,
Wisconsin has around 25. Some of those are vineyards that have distilling licenses as well. But basically, it's just taking it to a more focused level. When we make our products, we literally make them in a 66-gallon still, copper pot still, and then we fill the bottles with four spouts with five people working when they package. So that's the difference, say, than when you go to Smirnoff's plant in Illinois, it's all mechanized. Mm-hmm. So we're giving it that, what I like to say is we make every spirit one drop at a time. So that's basically what you would say.
Sure. Yeah. And why this interest in craft distilling or what have you? Where's that coming from?
I think the small artisanal style crafting of really any beverage or food, it just has been a trend that the U.S. has seen kind of as a result of going the opposite. Say in the 70s and 80s, we got a little too commercial with everything, and people really wanted to know a little bit more authenticity in the story behind where their food was coming from. So, you know, the farm-to-table movement, the craft beer movement, and prior to craft beer, there was a lot of wine. You know, really, California really started it with really tiny little wineries that were popping up everywhere. So I think it's just kind of a result of us wanting to go back to something that we lost maybe after really none of us or very few of us actually getting all of our food from a farm anymore, that we are, you know, actually tilling the ground. So I think there's a real desire to know more about where our food comes from.
Okay. And why don't you tell us a little bit about your company, Top Note Tonic?
Sure.
What do you do there?
Well, Top Note started a few years back, and, you know, Wisconsin's really well known for its breweries, but not necessarily for other craft beverages that can come out of the state. I actually came out of the beer industry and spent 20 years there and really wanted to do something unique and fun in the beverage space, but not alcohol.
Uh-huh.
Just saw the space itself being fairly crowded, and we decided to go into soft drinks. The soft drink industry I saw kind of similar to the light beer industry years ago, where kind of diet is a dying cola breed. There's not much coming out to replace it, and people are really desiring and wanting something new and fresh in terms of flavors, but also just more adult. So I decided to play in the mixer space, and you know, thank goodness, right down the block we had a distillery that had been open for about 10 years.
How convenient!
And you know, they were one of the first folks that we went to, and we actually were only making syrups at the time, and very, very helpful. Peter said, "Look, we're going to help you because we know every, you know, 80 cents of every dollar that is spent here on local goods stays here." So, you know, it's really nice to have partners kind of in crime and saying we're going to grow a local industry around
this.
Sure.
And Peter, what did you tell her that you look for in a good mixer?
Well, you know, at that time, I really wasn't paying a lot of attention to mixers because I was not, in my background, I'm not a craft cocktail maker. I'm more of a mixologist, meaning
okay.
I can grab bottles and make things taste good. I did do some mixing, but in some creation of marinades for Bloody Marys and things like mm-hmm. that. But what intrigued me most was just the fact that it tasted so much better than anything that was on the market. And honestly, when I compare, say, Schweppes tonic to Top Note tonic, their Indian tonic, absolutely phenomenal product, goes really well with most of our products that we pour it with. It made the cocktail just really brighten that up that much more than if we were using a regular tonic. So basically I was looking at the ingredients she was using. The taste profile was phenomenal, and it really worked well with our spirits.
Okay. Well, our guests today are Mary Pelletieri, founder and president of Top Note Tonic, and Peter Clement, director of business development for Great Lakes Distillery. And we'd like to hear from you. We have open lines, so give us a call, 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to ideas@wpr.org. So, Peter, let's get to Great Lakes Distillery.
Sure.
And tell us about that business and what you make there.
As I mentioned before, Guy Rahorse was the actual first craft distiller in the state of Wisconsin. He started in 2004. I was fortunate to be one of his first customers in 2006, buying the vodka for a restaurant that I was managing on the east side of Milwaukee called Elliott's Bistro, and was a firm supporter of it. And he actually looked at me and said, "I know you carry a lot of local products. You carry Sprecher products, you carry Point products, you carry Lakefront, you carry MKE. What would you do if I told you you could have a premium vodka from Milwaukee?" And I said, "Well, it's got to be good. It's going to be a premium."
Right.
So about a year and a half later, he comes to me and shows it to me.
Mm-hmm.
And then subsequently after the vodka, they started making the highest awarded gin in the state of Wisconsin, which uses Wisconsin ginseng from Wausau, I might add, as well as Wisconsin sweet basil. And then we made another vodka. We didn't want to make flavored vodkas, but we made the obvious flavor, which was citrus. And we added
sure.
a little honey from Natural Acres in Chilton to offset the sourness of fresh lemons. And then we did a rum named after the first and only sailor arrested for piracy on the Great Lakes. And then we did our award-winning Kinnickinnick whiskey. And then we've done many after that, including fruit brandy. So what we've basically done is we didn't stop at one thing. We're constantly trying to find a way to innovate. And that's because that's what Guy Rahorse does, you
okay.
know, and we've got a great distilling team too. So,
and you're located, both of you said you're close together. Mm-hmm. Why don't you tell us where you're located?
We're located in Walker's Point.
Okay.
We're at Virginia and 6th Street. Almost lost it. Kitty corner from Conejitos.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep. Yeah, and we're really not too far away. We're actually technically in Walker's Point, but a lot of people say Bayview
okay.
at Lincoln and
it's
First.
Pretty, those are quite together.
Pretty
yeah.
close.
Yeah.
We're right yeah. on the corner. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay, great. Why don't you tell us a little bit about the products that you actually carry, Mary? We didn't get into that. So
sure.
tell us.
Well, you know, similar to the craft spirits and craft beer world, we saw the world of mixers needing innovation in a really, really strong way. Coming out of beer, I saw the need for the more creative use of sugars, You know, we use a date sugar, for example, in our ginger beer, which gives it a really robust and interesting
flavor. Which is very
good,
by the way. I tried it.
Thank you. And it's great with rum, especially with the Great Lakes rum, but it's also delicious, you know, just muddled with a lime. And if you actually do want to make a mule, just add your splash of vodka in there and you've got a really great cocktail. We like to innovate also in the tonic spectrum. So I started out making tonics with bitters, not just quinine. And that's actually a fairly unique platform to stand on, especially coming out of the Midwest. We've certainly shared that with bartenders across the country, and they just are wowed by it because I was just looking at it as a craft brewer and said, there's more bitters. Why aren't we doing fun things with bitter
right.
in tonic?
Mm-hmm.
So we started there. Now we're going to continue to innovate in the sour spectrum as well as going more classic with our tonics as well.
Okay. And you had given us some samples, and mm-hmm. I was able to taste them with a friend. And I was just amazed at the difference between you brought three different kinds of gin.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I was shocked that there was so much of a difference between the three.
Yeah.
What do you put into it that makes it so different?
Well, basically, the first gin we make has 9 botanicals in it. And then what we decided was, Guy Rahorse decided, let's try to do a whiskey-aged gin, which is a very interesting gin because we had a hard time getting the label approved because apparently you can't barrel-age anything but whiskey and wine, I guess. But so what we did was we first did in our whiskey barrels, we put our gin in, but we added a little more dried orange peel so that it would have people who would smell it would feel like, well, I could use this in an old-fashioned. I could use this in a Manhattan, you know. And then the next time we have a partnership, we do things with Von Steele up in Algoma, and what we decided to do was use one of their Red Zinfandel barrels, and we aged the same gin that we would put into the whiskey barrel in the Von Steele barrel. It's absolutely delicious.
Is that the one with the sort of a pinkish tone to it?
Yes.
Okay.
And then we have more. We have fruit gins coming out. We love our gins.
Apparently.
And we love, you know, with their tonics, they're coming out. You know, it's perfect.
The story here is that there are so many new gins on the market. Great Lakes is doing some phenomenal ones. We thought there was time for more tonic as well.
Uh-huh.
And unlike Europe, the U.S. is a little slow on the tonic take.
Yeah.
We're hoping to lead that out of this state to really show that there's not only some fresh ideas coming that can come out of the U.S. as well, but also just fantastic pairings. And I'm sure I know these recipes. I think are on your website or will be.
We can get them out there.
I think they're phenomenal, just because really simple, very great cocktails that you can kind of wow your friends with, and they'll wonder, what did you do to make this cocktail so good? It really comes down to the quality of the ingredients you're using, which is really why the craft beverage movement actually happened.
Okay, and we're going to go to the phones, and when we get back from this break, this is the Larry Mueller Show. I'm Jill Nadeau, sitting in for Larry today on the Ideas Network. We're talking to Mary Pelletieri, founder and president of Top Note Tonic, and Peter Clement, director of business development for Great Lakes Distillery. If you've got questions about craft beverages or how to make a great G&T, give us a call, 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to ideas@wpr.org. Coming up at 11:45 today, we will talk to the manager of the Dane County Farmers Market and some of the growers that sell there. Hope you can stay with us, but right now we are talking about distilled beverages and cocktails and highballs. And we do have a question on the phone from Jake in Milwaukee. Hi, Jake.
Hi there. Thank you for taking me.
You bet. What's your call or question?
I actually had a question about bitters. I've been seeing tins of different flavored bitters at my local liquor store, and I've been curious about experimenting. I was wondering if your guests, if they either of them make any, or if they have any expertise they could share about mixing in some bitters with their drinks.
Well, I can take that, Jake. You know, bitters are actually quite an influence for me. We actually, tonic is not too far from bitters in the sense that it's bitters mixed with water, sugar, citric acid. So it's more of a full-on mixer. But bitters are really the bitter component that you can add to your cocktail. And a true cocktail is going to be simply dilution. of the spirit with a little bit of sugar and usually bitters. And that was kind of a straight up cocktail. Usually there's a little bit of citrus in there for some sour. So you're trying to basically create a very balanced beverage. But bitter actually helps balance some of the sweetness that you get out of any of the carbohydrate that you're going to be putting in there, not only from your sugar, but also from the spirit itself. So I always say play. Bitters are fun. They can be used in highballs. So if you're making a gin and tonic and maybe you want to lift a certain component of the gin or maybe the spirit that you have in there, complement it with the bitters. They really do lift a lot of the aromas that you're going to get out of all the components that you put in that drink. So play with your bitters. Definitely have fun with them. Heck, even I use orange bitters. Bitter Cube makes some great bitters here in Milwaukee. They're right down the stairs from us, and I use their orange bitters in my coffee, and it's phenomenal. So, you know, bitters are really just a wonderful flavor component that can be added to beverages, and they really do help balance and kind of complete a cocktail that you make.
Okay, great. Well, thank you for that question, Jake. That was great. We also have Debbie on the line, and she's in Green Bay. Hi, Debbie.
Hi. I had a question. We were down in the Dominican this year for a vacation, and they had this stuff called Mahama Mama that they made up, and it was rum, and they added honey to it, and then a little bit of red wine, which I didn't care for the red wine in there. But I was wondering, if I were just to make this rum and honey, how do I just go get a bottle of honey? And how much honey do I add into the rum? And I just drank it over the rocks because I liked it that way.
I'll take that. I would say, do you know what simple syrup is?
Yes.
Okay, so you can make a simple syrup, and you could add honey to taste, and then you could put it with the rum. And I might even suggest with that, if you don't like to put red wine with that, we have a wonderful cranberry liqueur that you could add to that. It's called Goodland Cranberry Liqueur, made with real cranberries from the western part of Wisconsin. And also, we have an orange liqueur called Goodland Liqueur, which is also very nice. But I think the key is when making a simple syrup like that is to do it to your taste. If you get it too sweet, you might not like it. You can use less, but it could also change the consistency and the viscosity of the drink.
Usually, you know, a sugar cube is all that's used in a lot of cocktails, about the equivalent of, so a half a teaspoon of simple syrup. Don't want to start too, I would say start low on the sugar and keep adding until you find you've created a cocktail that you like. And don't forget dilution. I've learned a lot about the science of cocktails because I came out of beer, but I've learned the craftiest of bartenders understand dilution. So don't be afraid to put that rum on a nice ice cube. Give it a good stir with the sugars that you've added, and keep tasting it until you get to that perfect dilution. That is actually going to make your drink perfect.
And okay. Make sure you write down that drink.
It's a scientific
really
experiment. You need to write it all
it
down.
It is.
Yes,
yep.
You do.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Debbie. For those who may not be familiar with simple syrup, why don't you explain what that is,
Simple
Peter?
Syrup is essentially sugar and water. And it's used in all types of drinks. It basically helps to offset some of the sour flavors and bitter flavors you might find in a drink.
And to make it, you heat it, correct?
Yes. Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
All right. So let's get to what we want to talk about. Let's talk about some recipes here. Do you guys have a favorite G&T?
Oh, gosh. Don't get me started.
Uh-oh.
There's too many tonics and there's too many gins. But we've been kind of co-promoting a simple gin and tonic that comes out of Spain. And that's become my favorite. And I want Wisconsin to put their arms around this because so many folks in Wisconsin understand how to make a brandy old fashioned. This isn't too much different. Mm-hmm. Really what you're doing is you're taking some wonderful herbs and spices, putting it in a larger glass, and then you're adding your gin and your tonic to it. Our tonic just happens to pair really well with some savory, so a cucumber, a little sprig of or little bit of lemon peel, and maybe juniper berries if you want, or if you want to do something out of your garden, because we know a lot of folks have their herbs starting right now.
Yes.
You can always do
mm-hmm.
a thyme or maybe even a rosemary sprig, and then just add a nice ounce and a half of your gin. I love the Rayhorse gin because it really is a kind of a nice clean gin. It also has a lot of Wisconsin botanicals in it. And then our tonic, our Indian tonic, happens to complement it very well because it's light, it's drier, and it's just going to lift all of those wonderful flavors you put in that glass.
Now, do you muddle that at all? I mean,
No, just throw it in there.
Okay.
I said I'm a simple bartender. Uh-huh. That's my favorite drink. We call that the Wisco Triple Crown G&T.
Okay.
And it's just our Rayhorse vodka, the Indian tonic, and a squeeze of lime. Very simple.
Long name, but not a lot of ingredients.
Yes, right. Exactly.
Yeah, the easiest way to make these cocktails is, again, as we just told the last caller, you actually do have to play with the ratio of what you have in terms of your spirit and then your mixer. And even if your mixer is just some simple syrup or some honey with some dilution from your ice, it's all about the ratio and the mix. So, you know, have fun and play. We love the fact that people discover great tasting cocktails all on their own. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we're always encouraging folks to share and share alike, because we really do think it's almost kind of akin to the craft beer movement, but not nearly as hard.
Not as hard.
And then one other thing I'll tell you is another great cocktail will be, she's got a tonic coming out, a grapefruit tonic. Will be our gin with the grapefruit tonic.
Mm-hmm.
But until then, if people like beer, you can mix Rattlers with our gin on the rocks. Delicious. Very refreshing, great summer drink.
So, yeah, that's a good segue. We can talk a little bit about different styles of lighter cocktails.
Go right ahead.
Okay, well, great. We encourage, of course, the highball is usually a fairly low proof cocktail, so you're only using about an ounce, a half, maybe two of your spirit. And you can, they're more of a, you know, an afternoon drink, especially on a really warm day. The other trend that we're seeing out there is people are using beer as kind of a base to build a cocktail off of. To make a real simple one, you could just do beer and a mixer, such as when we come out with our grapefruit, and would be a great one.
Oh, yeah.
We've actually mixed beer with our Indian tonic water. A sour beer with our Indian tonic is phenomenal. But then some people actually will put a little bit of a liqueur on top, or maybe even a little bit of an ounce or half an ounce of gin, just to kind of amp up a little bit of the alcohol. And it's just a wonderful, simple thing to do. So, yeah, you can always enhance your Radler if you'd like, and make it your own. You know, that's the whole point of cocktails. It's
what does the addition do to the beer itself? I mean, how does it change?
Well, the beer, you know, coming out of beer, the beer was created to be, you know, the perfect beverage on its own. But let's face it, people have been adding fruit to beer for a while. People have been diluting beer with soft drinks for quite a long time, just to cut the alcohol. So what you're doing when you're making this sort of style drink, you're cutting the alcohol, and you're creating the beer itself becomes less of a focus. You get the maltiness, some of the bitterness gets cut. The alcohol is still there, but it becomes more of a kind of a soft drink slash beer. It's a very unique beverage.
I like to say it's kind of the best of both worlds, because I love beer and I love spirits.
There you go.
And wine too.
You've got everybody. Everybody will be happy. Our guests today are Mary Pelletieri, founder and president of Top Note Tonic, and Peter Clement, director of business development for Great Lakes Distillery. We'd like to hear from you. What is your favorite summer cocktail? Share it with us. Give us a call. 1-800-642-1234. You know, these gin and tonics, G&Ts, they're not your father's G&T, right?
No.
I mean, they are so different. So what do you tell people who say, oh, I tried gin and tonic and I don't like it?
Oh, my goodness. Well, you know, the gin and tonic as a cocktail, the history of it, it really didn't become a thing in the United States until the 50s, quite long after the Second World War. This was kind of this exotic, cool cocktail that came out of Europe. And it really, Schweppes was making a tonic water at the time, and it was quite high in sugar. That became the country club drink, you know, so to speak, in the 80s. And really no innovation in tonic has kind of made the gin and tonic become this drink that no one wants to consume. We've had people come up to us at tastings and say, wow, I always thought I didn't like gin. It actually turns out I didn't like the tonic that was being mixed with the gin. So I really do encourage people to go back out, buy some good tonic water. Hopefully you'll buy Top Note. Hopefully you'll buy some good gin, and you'll buy Peter's great products, and you'll really have a different experience. It's a simple, classy drink, and it doesn't need to be your dad's gin and tonic, right? Some of the other things that we have on our recipe sheets, not only using the different gins and the different tonics, but adding a little splash of vermouth, which we were talking about beer earlier, but you know, the wine people don't need to be left out here. A white wine or a vermouth, a sweet vermouth, is a really nice little addition. You don't need much, a quarter ounce, a bar spoon, and you make a really interesting cocktail.
Okay. Let's go back to the phones. We've got Mike calling from Green Lake County. Hi, Mike.
Hi, good morning.
Good morning. What do you have for us?
I just wanted to know if your guests had ever heard of a hickory old fashioned. It uses hickory syrup for the sweetener, and that's getting very popular here in Green Lake County.
Wow, that's really interesting. And I have not heard of that, but I'm not surprised, right? So Wisconsin is a great old fashioned state, really strong history here. And why not play with the sweetener? Why not play with the components of this and make it more local? I really like that idea. It sounds like a really interesting drink.
Do you have some, I thought, that had, was it maple syrup? Did I see that, or am I hallucinating?
That would be our rum, actually.
Oh,
uses maple syrup.
Okay.
From,
that must be
Cumberland,
where I
Wisconsin,
saw.
Mm-hmm. Anderson Farms.
Yeah. Okay, and thanks so much for that call, Mike.
On that, Mike, I would make a rum old fashioned.
Ooh, yeah.
Ooh. There you go.
Yes, indeed. And use Roaring Dan rum.
When does it stop being an old fashioned then, once you change the recipe?
I mean, what's funny about it is we make an old fashioned with our barrel reserve gin. And
really?
If you look at the history of the old fashioned, mm-hmm. the Dutch were making old fashions before we ever started using brandy in Wisconsin.
Oh, so interesting.
And they were using gin.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
There you go. Things evolve all the time.
Oh,
I change the name of cocktails, and real traditionalists will go, "You can't call it that." And I'll go, "Why not?
It's a free country.
It's a free country.
There's no rules."
Right.
All right. Well, thanks, Mike. Let's go to Ron in Cable next. Hi, Ron.
Yeah. Good morning. As far as adding to, was mentioned adding sweet colas and things to beer, another thing that's been done for years on, you know, overseas, and maybe in this country a little bit, is adding cider and half porter, for example.
That's a great, great point. Again, the whole mixology is being really churned up by the fact that there's better products now in the United States, and cider is just another beverage trend that we have seen. We've seen a lot of cideries spark up, especially in this great state, because there's great apples here for cider. So, yeah, absolutely. You can absolutely use cider as even a mule base. There is a little cider house not far from the Great Lakes Distillery, and it's just a cider bar. They literally, all they do is serve cider, and they actually make a cider mule with ours. And it's a wonderful thing you can mix with. It's usually can be dry. You know, ciders can be fairly dry, so you may need to bump it up with a little bit of a sugar component. But some ciders can be quite sweet. So, yeah, go ahead and mix it up.
Okay.
Speaking of someone who likes to mix things, I've been mixing ciders because I have a lot of friends who are in the business who do the same stuff I do. And when they get a new cider, I taste it and I go, "Let's mix it with this gin or this vodka or this," you know. And they go crazy when I do that. They're like, "Stop it." I'm like, "No, it's a great way to cross market."
There you go. Yeah. I need to get to Walker's Point because obviously there's a lot of neat things going
yes,
on down
is.
Here that
yeah,
I was unaware.
Yeah, just on that corner where 5th and 5th Street kind of intersects where the Iron Horse Hotel is. There's a great brewery there.
Mobcraft.
There's Lost Valley. There's Great Lakes Distillery. Hotel Madrid. Fantastic cocktails there. So, yes, you definitely got to hit it up because It might have been the hotel that kind of spurred on a lot of this development, but it's fantastic to see in Milwaukee.
Now, Great Lakes Distillery also, you're open to the public, right?
Oh, we're open to the public. We're open 7 days a week. Mm-hmm. We do close some holidays. We offer tours about 3 times daily during the week and Sundays. And then on Saturdays, we have about 5 tours.
Oh, wow.
And you'll really learn not just, you know, you go on the bourbon trail, you learn about whiskey and bourbons. You come to us, you learn about all of the spirits that we make. And we've got phenomenal phenomenal cocktails as well, and great cocktail makers, craft cocktailists.
One of
cocktails.
The best tours you can do and when you go to Milwaukee, for sure. These guys are funny. They're entertaining. They're really quite bright. They understand what they've been at it for a while. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, the compliment is they have actually food now also at their distillery, so you can actually sit down, have a nice lunch.
The Great Lakes
I love the
Galley.
Place.
Okay. Wow. That's amazing. So for somebody who's listening that may be thinking about, maybe I would like to get into that business. I want to experiment. I want to try. Where do they start?
Oh, Well, you got to start with a passion.
Yes.
Because it's definitely a long haul. So if you are really passionate about something that you've created and you've gotten some friends and or family to give you the feedback and say, yeah, this is something that I would drink, I would buy, and you hear that a lot, I always say, start slow, take it to us, you know, if you can get into the farmers markets, that's actually what we did. You can't do that, obviously, with spirits in this state yet, but, you know, in other states, they allow that. But regardless, you can start with whatever small opportunity you have to kind of gain that customer's appreciation and knowledge of what you're doing, and then also learn a little bit from what the consumers are telling you, and then you got to raise money. So, you know, I mean, all in, it takes a lot of passion and just a lot of tenacity. So if you have that and you've got a great product and you feel confident in what you can do, just go for it.
Just go for it. Yeah. You agree, Peter?
Yeah, I would say, I mean, I didn't found the company, but I was on the ground floor with him when he did. And, I have to say he has been, I think one of the keys to being one of the founders of distilling in this country is he's been gracious to everybody who's come after him. He's helped a lot of people along the way. He's given them a lot of advice, financial advice, also advice about, you know, just what Mary was saying, stick to it, but also don't reach too far. And then also, just in general, he's done a lot for distilling in this state. I think that's one of the things you need to be. You need to have open mind and realize that those who come up behind you, as long as they're making a great product, you know, rising tide raises all boats.
Sure.
And I think that's key.
Yeah, the craft brewers have done that so well and continue to do that. So, you know, really, I think all artisans and anyone that's looking at using local ingredients, you know, we all kind of win together. So we always encourage, if you're out and about, even at Wisconsin restaurants that are making great food, ask them about their cocktails and ask them to use some local ingredients, because besides our products, there are some other really great, phenomenal products out there, and we really want us all to succeed.
There you go. Go ahead, Peter.
I was just going to say, I do a lot of traveling around the state, and whenever I'm in a local area, I ask about the spirits, the beer. I usually drink a beer because I like beer too, but I'll have spirits as well. But I try to, and I'll get cranberries, I'll get cherries, whatever it is that's local, because I really believe in supporting the local economy, and also I know we make great stuff in this state. So.
Absolutely, and you don't have to apologize for liking beer. You are from Wisconsin. Now, is there an organization that you all belong to help each other, or hasn't it gotten that far yet?
Well, the Wisconsin Distillers Guild, which Guy actually was the first president of, helps the distillers, and it lobbies, which is very important, because before, just a little history about tasting in liquor stores and grocery stores called off-premise tastings. Believe it or not, wine was the first liquor but alcohol that you could sample in a liquor store and grocery store. I found that amazing because beer, you would think,
would be
followed by beer.
Okay.
And then Guy Rehorse fought very hard with the grocery association to get that passed, and finally it was passed. And that's important. I mean, that's why there are those guilds. And then, as I said before, it also helps people who are getting into the business. So.
Sure, absolutely. Now, we've got a few minutes left. Why don't you give us maybe three, say where someone's going to have a party this weekend, they want to impress the people that are there. What should they have on their liquor cart? It's not too complicated, but it can, you know, make some really good drinks.
Well, I always say get some ginger beer because that's such a popular thing right now. You know, I'll speak to the mixers and I'll let Peter talk about the booze. But
I'd say top note ginger beer.
Yeah, definitely. But, you know, have a variety because it's not just one. Tonic, the same thing. We actually make a bitter lemon tonic that is actually phenomenal with some brown spirits or with a barrel-aged gin. So have a variety of mixers. It's not just one type. It's not just one brand. And, you know, be conscious that some folks might not want a lot of sugar. So, you know, if you pick up our brands, you're going to be having a little bit lower sugar too. So get a variety of mixers, and then Peter, tell them about the spirits.
Well, I would say, obviously, we're getting into hot weather. You want vodkas and gins, a nice rum for a what I call a roaring stormy, otherwise known as a dark and stormy. But also, I think what's really important is that a lot of times people don't realize how much alcohol, how long alcohol goes, how long away it goes. So if you mix a little bit in there, start out small, mix it, see how you like it. You don't have to pour a tall glass of alcohol and then top it off with an ounce of a mixer. The other thing is I would say we make, as I said before, the cranberry liqueur. If you like low alcohol, it's only 50 proof, so 25%. It's fantastic with their Indian tonic. So what I'm getting at is you don't have to drink heavily. Mm-hmm. You can drink a number of drinks and have them not be heavy alcohol and enjoy them. Mm-hmm. You know, that I think that's the key. You know, drink responsibly, basically.
Sure. Keep it light and you can taste more taste. And as far as garnishes go.
Oh, garnish, you know, just pick some herbs out of your garden. Even savory such as cilantro can be really kind of fun in a drink. You know, the bartenders, you'll see them kind of smash between their hands the mint or the herb that they're using. And that is actually a great technique, a simple technique. You float that onto your drink and suddenly all those oils that were in that leaf actually are being carried into your drink. And then same thing with citrus peels. You know, peel the citrus and just kind of bend it just like they do at the bar. And it really does just release those oils over the drink. It's so simple. Anyone can do it. And, you know, really just highlights the cocktail even more.
Okay, well, thank you for those tips, and I think I need to do some of those this weekend
because
they sound
so
really good. We've been talking with Mary Pelletieri, founder and president of Top Note Tonic, and Peter Clement, the director of business development for Great Lakes Distillery, and we had a wonderful time talking about some of the fresh things you can use for cocktails. Well, we're going to be talking about the farmer's market next and talk about fresh things. That's a great place for you to get them. Hope you can stay with us on the Ideas Network.